Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Tea with Lilie. I'm your host Lilie Mensah-Yeboah and joining me on the sofa today is Elena Borden, the independent financial advisor, and generally I'd call her an all-round good egg, yeah? And we're going to talk about money. You know that word that everybody thinks is dirty? Today we're going to look at it and make sure that you understand that it's very clean. We are going to talk about money. Lena, welcome. And thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
And since we're talking about tea, what's your favorite tea?
Ooh, fresh mint.
Oh.
From the garden. Preferably.
I joined the financial services industry in 2006 and I've seen it go through the good, the bad and the ugly times. Throughout her work, she's met, spoken and provided services to hundreds of clients, and that has led her to discover something very interesting and powerful about people and their finances. Essentially, she says people don't actually have financial goals and objectives. They have life plans and dreams which require financial solutions so that those plans and dreams can be achieved. That is so clever. I've never thought about it like that. Yeah.
Well, that's my sort of view on the industry and how people, you know, if you talk to financial advisors, we are all about pension planning and investment solutions and funds, and people don't do it that way.
Yeah.
There are dreams and there are tools to get those dreams into your real life, and that's what financial planners should be doing, in my opinion.
Yes. Because normally we see a financial planner and we're sort of going, oh God, they're going to sell me insurance. Oh God, they're going to look into my finances and say, why am I buying the extra cappuccino today instead of saving, you know?
Well, people usually buy cappuccino without thinking.
Exactly. And you think, oh, that's, you know, £2-3 a day at the end of the day. If you have a dream of buying maybe a new car, that £2-3 a day could make
ends
that
up.
Dream closer.
It ends up.
Yeah.
And to make a point, I was trying to persuade people that you need to watch your expenditure. You need to know how much comes in and how much you need just to break even to pay your bills. The majority of people have no idea, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point I decided to walk my talk in sort of more, how shall I put it, I know more or less how much I spend privately or in my private life company. I know it down to the penny. And I decided to put myself into my client's shoes and just down to the penny, how much do I spend each month? And it's not 100%, exaggerated to make a story, but it was not far from truth. 1 month I discovered that I spent a hell of a lot of on lattes. It was about 80 quid,
80 pounds on lattes alone.
I had my excuse, you know. I have client here, client there, 30 minutes in between clients, or 45 minutes. What do? You go to Cafe Nero, you buy a latte, and there is a muffin, and I don't want a muffin, but I buy it because I've got time. And then, being a financial advisor, I calculated how much it would come to if I just put it in a box, and then what would happen if I put it in ISA. Yeah. And figures, I wouldn't give it to you, I just don't want to give wrong figures, but it was over £40,000 over life of working person. So how we treat money and what we do with money and how we end up with our financial planning. Well, that's a story. Financial advisor who drinks 80 pounds worth of coffee. I don't anymore.
Okay, that was a wake up call for me then.
It was a good example of, you know, how easy it is to spend a few pounds here and there, and then what it ends up.
So what brought you into the financial services industry, and why money? Why money?
Why money? I would like to know it myself. Variety of reasons, Lily. When I talk to people and, you know, about myself and company and the industry, usually people expect some inspirational story or, you know, there is no inspirational story. It was a necessity. I came into the country at the age of 31. I am a qualified lawyer back home. I was born in Ukraine, lived in Russia for a long time. I've got 2 master degrees, so I found out that I was overqualified apparently.
Yes.
And finding a job was close to being impossible. So instead of thinking about corporate career, I created a job for myself. That's a true story. And in financial services industry, you study based on modules. Then very quickly I realized that there are things I like in my job and there are things I can't
do
at all. and to overcome that, I had to get people on board and make them do what I don't like, so I've got more time to do what I like.
I'm assuming that's the admin side.
It is.
I hate admin. Yeah. But you obviously like talking to clients, finding out.
I like people. I like dreams. I like, you know, what inspires you. Where are you going? Why do you do what you do? Why do you go to work every day? If I understand that, then the rest is easy. Mm-hmm. I do not like reports and spreadsheets and compliance.
That's amazing, because you're supposed to like the numbers. You're the
not
numbers
really
person.
No, that's what people think about financial advisors. There are two sides of profession, and if you're good in numbers, you become a researcher. Back office, what we call. If you are good with people, then you become financial advisor. There are always people who can crunch numbers. You've got computers these days. There is loads of news about robo-advice, so artificial intelligence providing financial advice to people. That's new. Big sort of subject for discussion. Will we be around in a few years' time or in...
Oh, you mean, so the building systems that will... Well, do you know what? The other day, you know, I'm in personal branding. I was sitting next to somebody and they said, oh, there's an app for it.
Well, there is app for everything these days.
I said, really? Okay, let me tell you what the difference is. The difference of an app is that it's the tool. If you have a garden and somebody gives you a mower, the mower will mow the lawn, but you either mow the lawn yourself or you get a gardener to do it for you. It will not do it for you. It's just a tool. And but carrying on.
Same with our industry and solicitors. I can see, you know, professional services are talking about it. In different areas of advice. My opinion is yes, we will have artificial intelligence that makes decisions based on numbers, but no one ever, until we understand how brain works and what consciousness is about, and I don't think science is anywhere close to discovering what it's all about, I don't think there will be a machine that can understand a human being into details and tell you what you should or shouldn't be doing. The job of financial advisor is probably 50% of psychology, 20% of coaching and counseling, another 10% of being a friend and trust and all other things, if not more, and 10% of number crunching.
Wow, I would never have. I thought all financial advisors just came, asked you the questions, gave you the advice, and you didn't realize it. So are you telling me that if you met a client, you probably spend the first 50%, if you beat a client, the first 50% of the hour talking about stuff rather than the money itself?
First meeting, if someone is referred to me or they found me somewhere, I would prefer to have coffee with you and just understand what you are about as a person, so you know about me and you see how I work, and I can learn about you, and we have got a right to say, you know what, we are not good to each other. It's like a marriage. A good financial advisor, Lily, I've got clients who I know the information about them no one else knows.
Mm.
It's deep stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's marriage.
It is a marriage.
We don't live in the same house, but we are nearly married.
Okay, you're just neighbors. So when you came to the UK, you've done some work with some other organizations. Can you tell us what sort of work you did before you came to be running your own business?
When I came to the UK, first year I didn't work at all. I came with 8-year-old daughter who didn't speak English, and we were crying every evening because I wasn't able to explain to her simple mess, you know, because I just didn't know language. Yeah. Well, I was okay with English, but mess in English, that was complicated. And then I applied for any job possible and impossible, and ended up with a business-to-business events company with a very good name in the industry, by chance, by real chance, as head of their sponsorship department. They haven't had sponsorship department before. They didn't think it would work. They took me because I probably was arrogant. I don't know. and I've been with them for a short period of time. I just didn't like the... what the company was about.
Yeah, ethos.
Ethos, philosophy, it just wasn't my place.
Mm-hmm.
But they were a good, you know, company on my CV.
Mm-hmm.
And then I joined Russian publishing house, worked there for a year and a half, and sold advertising space to a mortgage advisor who became a friend, and he told me about the industry. So that's the story behind my pre-financial services work.
I've met you a few times, we've spoken a few times. What is the thing that you do so well that, you know, people will do well themselves, but it's the thing that makes you?
I think I find it very easy to connect with people. You see, we are sort of coming back to one thing. I can have 10-15 meetings in a day. I can work 24/7 if it's about people and meeting with people and talking to people. Mm. As far as admin is not involved, I can work without holidays. I am good with numbers, don't get me wrong.
I bet you are.
Yes.
You have to be.
I just don't like to do it, yeah. But I can use both brains, left and right.
Mm.
So my strongest point or my strongest skill is people skills, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay, and that's why you run the Women's FSB group.
Yes, that's my contribution to society, as I call it. It's an interesting story. I'm working in the industry where probably 90%, if not more, are men, which is, I have got used to it, and I feel very comfortable with it. Someone told me that Federation of Small Businesses will be a good organization to join.
Mm-hmm.
As a small business owner, sometimes you do feel lonely, even if you've got team and other people working with you. So I joined the federation and found out that I found another financial services sort of side of organization or whatever, because there are loads of men in the federation, very few women. And I came up with the idea that why don't we set up an event for women who run small businesses.
Yeah.
And that's how it all started. Since then, meeting with different women, I realized and understood that there is no way back, and I have to lead by example and grow it bigger, because behind every woman there is a story.
Yeah.
And some of them are very powerful, some of them you want to cry, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Life. And as a result, we are running events in Greater London region. I do hope that potentially it can become national project. But the main idea is to support and understand how women in business work, what needs they've got, how we can grow the amount of women who set up their own businesses. I do believe it's very important.
Okay.
If I can, well, I don't, I hope it will happen in my lifetime. I doubt
it will.
I hope it will, but I would like to see 50-50 small business society.
I think I read somewhere that more women were starting their own businesses, but whether they succeed or it's the long term or the size of their businesses, it's different from men. We tend to do things on a much smaller scale.
Many women go into business, or used to go into business, as a part-time lifestyle business, to be with the family and have free time. In fact, in the last 2 years, 45% of startup loans were taken by women.
Oh, okay.
So we are growing.
Good. And I mean, this is from my old days of being a business advisor. And the other thing is that I remember, I don't know how much of that has changed. Women are less likely to remortgage their homes.
To put money into business.
Into business. Than men.
Women are not as risky as...
Yes, we're risk averse.
But there is another side of women running business. More women run business as... It's not a hobby, but in their head it's a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And if I sit with a man and we do financial planning for the company, they are more clear on where they are and what is happening. When a woman, she's just happy. And numbers, many women believe wrongly that they can deal with it.
Yeah.
Until you show them that it's not as, you know, difficult as it sounds or looks. But many women, they wouldn't remortgage the house, but they wouldn't keep an eye on day-to-day figures, and as a result, the business might go the wrong way.
Yeah. Okay. So let's look at your life. Let's look back at your life a little bit, Lena. You're sitting here in front, if you were 16 years old, sitting down.
That would be long way back.
Oh, come on, that was only yesterday. Sitting, if you were 16 in terms of career, what would you have wanted then? What would you have said you wanted to be?
Oh, goodness. I remember I was born in the country which was called Soviet Union, doesn't exist anymore. We graduated, we used to graduate at the age of 17. That was our equivalent of A level exams. And I remember it probably was 2 months before graduation, system was completely different, really. It wasn't like in this country. You would pass exams at school, graduate, and then go to university and pass exams, entrance exams. And you need to choose where you are going. 2 weeks before or 2 months before graduation, I still wasn't 100% sure what I want to do. So, career. My mom was a teacher, and she taught all her life, and she was very good at it. Children loved her. My dad was in finance, funny enough, and before he retired, he was a head of a district tax officer of the whole district.
Okay. So you've got numbers in your family.
Yes. My mother wants me to be a teacher. My dad wants me to study finance or economics. I was very stubborn little thing, so I decided to study law. And
No kidding.
And I went 1,200 kilometers away from home to prove that I can do it. Then Soviet Union collapsed, and that's how I found myself living in another country, in Russia. And then life, you know, laughed and made a few turns and twists and whatever. And I found myself living in the UK. And to cut long story short, a few years ago I was thinking, I ended up teaching people how to manage money. So in fact, I made both parents' dreams come true.
Yeah.
And the moral of this story is, always listen to your parents. Sometimes they are right. Otherwise, it will take you a few years to work out which direction you should go. My 16-year-old had no idea where I would end up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Thank you for that, Lena. Listeners, I'm here with Miss Moneybags, Lena Borden. Miss Moneybags, Lena. And I call her Moneybags because she helps people with their money. I just like the term. It's my term of endearment for her. She's probably seen more money than any of us. She's seen more money in a day than any of us see in a year, because you're always handling other people's money.
It is, but Lily, these days it's not money really, it's numbers.
It's
on computer screen.
So people don't come to you with money in their suitcases
no,
and say invest
no.
it in Things have moved on. And Lena, what's your mantra?
My mantra, I borrowed it from John Lennon, Lily, and it says, everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end.
Wow.
Yep.
Everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. I love it. I'm going to pinch it. I'm going to put it on Twitter. So give us an example of your typical client, the type of client that you see day to day.
There will be several. Mm-hmm. It's a young family who are buying their first home, and they are overwhelmed with the amount of things they need to do and stuff they need to deal with.
What about to a young couple, you know, maybe starting a career? They haven't started a family yet, but they're living together or something.
Usually young people come to see me when they are planning to buy a first home.
Mm.
It's just how life is these days. And first time buyers now are, when I started in 2006, they were in their late 20s, sort of early 30s. Now they are in their late 30s, early 40s. That's how life changed in 15 or 10 years.
Wow.
Another good example of a client would be someone who plans to retire, and they worry, will they have enough money to support their lifestyle for years and years after they finish working. A small business owner who is so involved in business, and they put all time and effort and everything they have in business, and they have no time to think about their personal finance, is another very good client.
Okay.
And of course, the best of the best of the best, I haven't found it yet, but it will come one day, is someone who just won a lottery.
Oh.
That would be a very good ideal client.
Okay, I'm going to buy a lottery ticket tonight. Wouldn't that
don't
be great?
Don't do it. That would be even worse than my latte.
Why? Buy a lottery ticket. But how are you going to get a lottery owner, a lottery winner, if you say don't buy a lottery ticket?
No, the likelihood of winning is so tiny. Don't buy a lottery ticket.
Okay, yes, mom.
Unless it's your hobby.
No, it's not my hobby. Every now and again I look and I think, oh, maybe I'll buy, and then I do, and then I never win. But it's a weekly thing for me. But who knows? One day I'll buy it and I'll win. When I remember.
Well, you know where good financial advisors are.
Exactly. City and country financial services.
Correct.
That's it. So what have been your highlights so far of your career?
My highlights in the career, let me think. I've got them daily, Lily. A text message with a picture attached to it showing a newborn baby, and a text underneath saying, our little angel was born an hour ago. Thank you for our new home. We can't wait to bring her back. You know, it wouldn't happen without you. That makes my day. Or a postcard from foreign location from a client who went on their dream holidays after they retired. Or invitation to the wedding. Or business event my clients hold, to which I'm invited. That's highlights.
Yeah.
It's little things which make my job worthwhile.
Yeah.
Even paperwork could be sort of liked and done when these things happen.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, that's interesting. And I know you're very busy seeing 10 clients a day, but surely you must be able to pause and breathe. And what do you do during that time?
Pause and breathe.
And then what? And then exhale.
No, I do pause and breathe. I like reading.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a compulsive reader. If I was paid for reading, I would be a multi-billionaire, I think. And it doesn't matter what, I will read anything that comes across. Yes.
So fiction?
Don't do fiction.
Okay.
The last fiction I've done was Cicero, which is historic fiction, and it's three huge books.
Okay.
But Richard Harris, highly recommended. I read a lot about personal development, love it.
Mm-hmm.
Quantum physics.
Okay.
Yes, I'm currently reading Biocentrism. People would have no idea what it's
about.
I
have no idea what you're talking Google about.
Google it. Very interesting.
Please
very
explain.
I
told you, this thing that I do, these interviews, I learn so much about that I wouldn't normally. So for me, it's a learning tool. So tell us.
Biocentrism is a new study which proves that our consciousness is creating the world rather than the other way around. And it's scientific study, and the author of the book, and I'm just trying, really, my brain is racing, like, who is the author of the book? It will come back to me. But he is a Nobel Prize winner, so we are talking science here.
Okay.
His point of view is that mathematics and physics cannot explain the world and how it was built, and we need to study consciousness to explain what is behind everything that is around us.
Okay. All right then. You can send me an email with exactly the link.
I can buy one for you.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Buying me the book. So we all support charities, Lena. Which charity do you support and why?
I raise money on a regular basis to a charity called ACET, A-C-E-T.
Mm-hmm.
They are a small, tiny, little charity based in the UK. They do not have offices or employees in the UK at all. And what they do, they educate orphans and disabled children in Africa, predominantly in Ethiopia at the moment, and through grants they get them careers, and then these kids run the projects in the country. So it's self-contained project. I found it about it by chance. I believe that if I help people educate, so if I help a client with financial education, they help me in return to help others, to teach others. So it's sort of, you know, my mom probably talking here. It helps me see my business like extension further than, you know, that we are here in London office.
Mm-hmm.
I like the charity because they are small.
Yeah.
They are not massive budget, massive charity, very well known. But I know what a huge difference they make to other children's life.
Great. Okay. And it's the volunteers are in the UK and ex-students in Africa.
Yes.
Okay.
All students are there.
Okay.
So they are focusing. All money goes there.
Okay. And so the students are, when you say education, do they go all the way to university, or they graduate maybe halfway?
It's not university based. It's module based education, and they educate these disabled children and orphans who wouldn't have any education otherwise.
Okay.
And children who go through the program, they take over and they become teachers and managers. And
okay.
So it goes on and on and on.
Yeah. Oh, self-serving. Right. Lena, how can our listeners connect with you if they want further advice on financial planning, the FSB women's groups, or even helping to donate to your charity? How can people find you?
The easiest probably will be to, well, you can email me, which is info@cforcharlie.london. So it's City and Country Financial Services, ccfs.london. Our website, same, www.ccfs.london. You can connect with me on Twitter and LinkedIn. I am Lena Borden everywhere. And office phone number is 020-313-7050. On Facebook, we've got a dedicated page for women in business. The name of the page is Buzzing Business Club.
Yeah.
And also there is a Twitter account called FSB Women, where I contribute as well. So there are so many ways we can connect.
Okay, that's great. So Lena Borden, LinaBourdon everywhere. Finally, in terms of financial planning, what are your top three tips for families or young people or retirees? What are your top three tips in terms of financial planning?
I will start with, and it's not a tip, it's just a little story, and mm-hmm. then I'll come to tips. There is, many people don't feel comfortable neither talking nor dealing with money for a variety of reasons. It
Me
could be
included.
Cultural, it could be how we were brought up, religion, name it. Money is just another thing out there. It could be a coin or a piece of paper or number on a screen of your computer, that's all it is. If you go into deep quantum physics and biocentrism,
are you trying to convert me?
No. I'm just sharing with you my view on money. Everything consists of molecules and atoms, and that's what world, everything around us consists of. So if it's physical money, that's what it is. A piece of paper which consists of little molecules and little neutrons and protons and whatever, subatomic particles. Going deeper, it's just energy. Money doesn't make you bad. Money is not the root of all evil. I believe money just makes you more who you are. So if you are a good person, money on some level just makes you a better person, and you will contribute money to causes which are important to you, and you mm-hmm. will buy more flowers and use taxes and eat in local restaurant and probably go out more, so you will contribute to the economy and help
and
people
buy expensive
make
shoes,
of course, and more lattes. If you are a bad person,
shoes, you can't even walk in.
If you are a bad person, yes, money will make you worse. That's what money is about. So when you are frightened of money, why is it? Because you are frightened that you will be better, or you are frightened that you will be worse. Money doesn't have power over you, and it's for you to decide what you want to do with it.
What about if you don't have it at all?
Look, Lily, I came from the country, and when I lived in the country, we were a cash society. And cash society means if you don't have money, you don't spend money.
Mm-hmm.
In the UK, in one of the, I probably will upset many people now, in one of the countries on earth where there are opportunities, huge opportunities, I do believe you can earn enough for living. And if that doesn't happen, I would just sit and think why.
Yeah.
And I am not blaming anyone, or I don't want people to feel upset. But you can make money in these countries. There are opportunities. There are jobs. If there are no jobs, you can create job for yourself. So when people say, I'm broke, there is no money, well, try to do something.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be your current situation. Doesn't have to be...
Your current situation is a result of decisions and options you've decided to take. That's it. It's past.
It's past, yeah. Okay.
And what your future will be depends on what decisions you will make today.
Okay. That's very sensible.
And where you put your money or where you put the money you don't have.
Indeed. Okay. All right. So tip number two?
That is tip number... That's not a tip. That's just the beginning.
Okay. That's just the beginning. Okay. Give us some more tips.
Tip number...
We need tips. We're not good with money.
Tip number one is earn more, spend less.
Mm-hmm.
Tip number two is with the difference which you've got between what you earn and what you spend, plan.
Okay.
Tip number three is if you think you don't have enough money to plan, then the big secret is if you can't plan and manage a pound, you would never be given a million. Guaranteed.
Mm.
Guaranteed. You know, we don't have time for it, but I can tell you so many stories about different clients, and they start in different places, and someone earns six-figure income, and I know where they are, and someone earns 25,000, and I know where they are, and I know what bottom line is, and I can tell you who is richer, or wealthier. Or,
it's how
so
you.
It's what you do with the money you are left with, and the last tip. If you are on average income in the UK, which is now over 25,000, then over your working life, you will earn a million, 40 years, 25K. What we do with money, that's all different, and that depends on what we do with money and how we plan it. Depends what life you will have.
Yeah. Okay. That's fantastic.
Tip number four. Try not to use credit cards.
Yeah.
Or if you use them, pay them off.
Yes.
Because that's where problem starts. I can go on and on.
I know. Give us one more. Final one.
Believe that you can have the life you desire, not only the life you can afford.
Okay.
People go to work to earn money to pay bills, And that is a huge tip. If we were not adjusting our lifestyle to the income we've got, but decide what lifestyle we want, and every increase in our earnings would be planned carefully and managed properly, then we probably wouldn't be where we are, most of us, in debt.
Okay. Oh well, Nina, I've learned so much about money, quantum physics.
I hope I haven't bored you to death, and I hope your listeners are not
I've
falling asleep.
It's something as I said at the beginning, we just do not like talking about money.
Money has soft side of it.
Tell me what the soft side is.
Soft side is, well, let's do it, Lily. What are your dreams? What age would you like to retire? If we were sitting with you and you were a very, very elderly lady. Let's say you are in your 138th year and we are having mint tea. And you say to me, Lina, that was a good life from financial point of view. Thank you. As my advisor, thank you. What have to happen so you could say something like that?
Just a house by the beach. That's it.
You are easy. I can plan your life today.
Seriously, house by the beach, somebody coming to clean, and you know, I go into town maybe twice a week. If I'm 138, I'm weak and old. So now, this is somewhere to put my head.
Oh no! We need to look from now till then. What has to happen?
Somewhere to put my head. I'm a very, very simple girl. Somewhere to put my head. A nice, decent ride, and some social stuff. That's it.
They see, Lily, most people, when I ask that question, they have no idea. And then I say to them, go home, have a glass of wine or a cup of coffee or whatever you drink, and spend some time thinking.
You can only sleep in one bed at a time.
I agree with you, but most people don't know. Many people come to me and they say, how shall I invest my money? And my question is, what are you investing for?
Yeah.
So and that is soft side of finance.
Oh,
it's not about what is the best fund and performance in the last 5 years and predictions and analysis. No.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Pleasure.
So thank you. Thank you, listeners, then. And Lena has opened my eyes to what my life will look like when I'm 138. And until the next episode, keep smiling and always walk good. Lena Borden, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.